So let's continue reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. This is something that you and I will have to do. God is not going to do. He has provided the whole armor, but we have to do it. Why we have to put on the armor? Because there's a war going on. That you may be able to stand only with the armor of God, the whole armor of God, you will be able to stand against the enemy. If there is sin in your life and my life, if there is sin in the church, that family, that person will not be able to stand against the enemy. You remember, Achan took something that was forbidden in the book of Joshua chapter 7. And then they went to Ai and got defeated. 36 people died. Remember that? And God said, I will not be with you. The reason why you got defeated, you could not stand. Let's go to the scripture just before your enemies, because you had that accursed thing among you. This is where that our lives should be clean when we go for battle. In fact, I'm not that just coming to that point, but I'm just going to focus on warfare actually. Chapter 7. Are you there? Joshua was crying all the time. Why this happened? And then, you know, why we got defeated? And there was sin in the camp. Look at verse 13. Get up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourself or cleanse yourself for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. In fact, towards the accursed thing, number one is our self. In your midst, O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies. Watch that word, stand. Because of sin. Now go back to Ephesians 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Withstand means to resist. How many Christians resist the devil? You know what we do? The Bible says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will walk away from you, right? No, he will run in fear. Flee means run in fear. But God's children, we don't do that. You know what we do? We submit ourselves to the devil and resist the Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves to ourself, the self-God, and resist the guidance and the working of the Lord Holy Spirit. And the demons come and then take over. Wherever the carcass is, the vultures gather, the demons gather to eat that carcass, that flesh. Independent self is wonderful smelling, smelly, smelly flesh. But demons will gather. So to take the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand, resist the evil day. Look at me, all of you, please. The evil day, the day when the spirits, demons, will be loosed against you and your family to attack. That's the day of your testing. The evil day is not an option. The Holy Spirit says, in the evil day. He never said, if the evil day comes. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 says, redeeming your time, for the days are evil. So evil day is not an option. It will come. Testing will come. Testing came to both the house builders. Jesus said in that parable, the man who built the house on the rock, the man who built the house on the sand. Same testings came for both houses. So you and I will not be exempted from the evil day. You young people, you teenagers, know it. You have to fight against it. You have to stand on that day. It may come suddenly to one of the members of your family. Suddenly, you will be thrown somewhere. Suddenly, you have to pray for somebody who is so close to you. And you are left alone in the hospital. The evil day is the day where hell is let loose. And they all come against you. And the Holy Spirit says, stand, resist, put on the whole armor of God. You do not know when the evil day will be. You don't know. I don't know. Never knew that the evil day was going to come in Switzerland when I took the flight. Never knew when I was praying for the people. But when I ministered to those four people, casting out the spirit of death from their lives, never knew that night when I went to sleep that we were going to go through one of the severe tests. Attack of the enemy. For nearly 2.5 months, we literally wept throughout the day and prayed and confessed, stood on the scriptures. All by the grace of God. Had nobody to hold hands even and pray. In a sense, a group of people. And I took the phone, my elders in Sri Lanka, they were weeping over the phone. Brother, what has happened? I said, pray. We will look at her. Our daughter. No words. So prepare yourself. Put on the whole armor of God. They're all coarse jesting and all these jokes, nonsense, be removed from you. Be serious with life. For there is a war going on. And the war is where? In your soul and my soul. In the evil day, and having done all, everything that you know to do right. Having done all, don't just sit around and blink. Don't just play about with your thoughts when the devil is putting all those thoughts inside your mind, when the demons are coming and attacking you. Get to business. Get into the word. Dig deep. Get on your knees. Pray. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues. Run to a park. If need be, shut the door inside your room. Play some worship cassettes. Shout out to the Lord. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore. How are you going to stand? God is saying to us, you put on the whole armor of God. Only then you will be able to stand, not fall down and then squall and bawl on the evil day. When I was ministering in Sydney, some years back, it was me and Chairman only. I'm going to one church to preach that Sunday morning. And I hear from this lady that they're taking Chairman to the hospital. Immediately, she developed a pain. It was there, a little bit increasing and increasing. But that morning, I said, okay. And I finished my message. And guess what? That hospital at that time was on strike. We had nothing to whatever. We just visitors there. God helped us somehow. There was one doctor available. Can you see that? One surgeon available that day. As God just put that man there, he said, get her into the theater immediately. Otherwise, she'll be finished. And there was gangrene was formed inside. Very poisonous in the gall bladder. And then she was, and I just waited outside. No one. I couldn't even pray. I said, Lord, I see this a lady coming in front of me, weeping, weeping, weeping. And this about 16 or 17 year old, like one of you. There's a stretcher, that bed, she's being wheeled. She's about to get inside the theater for surgery. And she's weeping. She's his only daughter. And it just came within me, get up and pray for her. I got up. As she was profusely weeping, I laid hands on her. Father, bless her with the peace of God. At once, she stopped. She stopped weeping. It's an evil day. Suddenly it came. So mark that. Put on the girdle of truth. We know that Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17, 17 says, the word of God is the truth. Is the truth. That not one dot, one whatever dash will be taken away. We need to live by the truth. Hold on to the truth. You see, Paul is talking about the girdle or the belt of truth. The soldiers at that time, the Roman soldiers, they wore something like a skirt. Some of you girls, you wear a skirt, right? Have you seen the Scottish, those musicians, they have a flapping skirt like that, and then they go with a whatever music that they make, the pipe. That dress needed to be dressed properly for the soldiers at that time, Paul's time. And the girdle of truth keeps that dress in the right place so that they are not exposed beneath their hip. And they have to fold it in such a way and put the girdle of that truth, I mean the girdle, the belt, so that they can move easily. That, you know, sometimes I have seen you ladies, you have difficulty in walking with a skirt. And some of you probably, the designers make a slit, you know. And even that one gets torn off sometimes because you run fast or I don't know, or you, yeah, I mean, but this girdle helps them, the soldier, to wear this dress. So that he can use his body and use the other weapons without the girdle in the proper place, the belt, holding that portion of that cloth, that dress he wears, you can't fight the battle. See how Paul is, the truth is very essential. What am I saying here? It means a daily life with openness. I know in church people there, they will never open their hearts. They won't even tell you what they feel. They won't even ask for prayers. If they have a bad dream, they will never tell. What will Pastor think of me? They will never. There is no openness. Therefore, they become the target of the enemy. It's a closed heart. It's a closed soul. When a room is closed for some time, you can expect anything they are in. When a room is closed for some time in Sri Lanka, I won't go there inside immediately. I will see if there is anything inside. Isn't it right? You don't know what came through the roof. For refuge. So there has to be openness, a daily life, living at home, going to work inside the car, speaking the truth and openness at work, in the mall, in the church, everywhere. Speaking the truth and be open. Honesty. Just because others are doing, don't do it. Just because others are trying to fiddle with the income tax, you don't do it. Honesty. Sincerity. A lot of time that we camouflage, right? I will tell you where we camouflage. When we sing surrender songs. I surrender all. Oh, lies. I lay my thoughts and dreams and plans. How many times we lied? How many times? Do you think it won't hurt God? You bunch of liars, and the demons must be laughing. You love your life like anything else. And there are short of laborers. And here we sing, oh, Sindhuda, this love, this hope. Oh, I love that song. And then we come to the, all my thoughts, my dreams, my eyelid. All lies. Do you think you can stand on the evil day? I didn't lie, Pastor. I just sang because everybody sang. Yeah, demon will come. And then demon also will say, I'm just coming. Camouflage. That's when the believers camouflage and lie. If you don't want to sing, don't sing. And if you don't want to sing, don't come. Can't I come and just sit, Pastor? No, I'll make you get out. Brothers and sisters, this is a time of war. It's a time of war. That's why you saw certain things in the previous days with your eyes. I was shown to you to know the reality of the enemy. And don't you think that you are free totally just because you have no manifestation, nothing. Oh, well. The spirit of the world is a vicious demon that will just keep you and then tell you everything is okay. You're fine. Okay, I mean, don't just bother. Just listen to cassettes and just read the Bible, go to work. And then what else can you do? I mean, you're not called as a pastor, evangelist, or missionary. No, you are just a youth. Deception. Like the young man got deceived that he was following the kingdom when he was not. He was caught up by his money. Isn't that right? So, honesty, openness, sincerity, frankness. Be frank. Don't camouflage. When you say, I got angry. Oh, I did that. I did this. Yeah. Pastor, I had a bad dream. Just now somebody was telling me, I'll take some bullets. Pastor, I have this, pray for me, Pastor. That takes humbleness. You say nothing, you will never be set free. You keep your soul closed. So dangerous. Where something is closed for a long time, you can be sure that there is something inside. Do you know that there is a demon, a specific demon that makes people's heart close? Until that demon is cast out, they will never open their heart. Because the devil knows they open their heart, they will be free. Are you there? See how many times I have to ask this brother, are you willing? Are you willing? Can you ask forgiveness? Are you willing? You should know the enemy attacks in many ways. I will make people to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, come inside my heart and all that. And afterwards, I said, okay, now that you have confessed this prayer after me. Huh? What prayer? Just now I prayed with you. Oh, no, no, I didn't pray. I just now led you in prayer. You just come inside. But no, I didn't speak. My God, the Spirit of God has to show me that was a demon that said that. Oh, no, Lord. Don't be smart unless through the Holy Spirit. We know nothing. The church has nothing to know except through the Spirit of the living God. Nothing shall be revealed from the kingdom except through the Spirit of God. That's why he said, not by might, not by power. Not by your theology, by my Spirit. God the Father and God the Son will never bypass the Holy Spirit when it comes to revelation. He will never. They'll honor him. So make friend with him. How can we make friend with him unless we just ignore the truth? We neglect the truth. We have lots of other things to do during the day. Lots of other important things. Don't we do that? And then we finally come at this and say, oh, I didn't read my Bible. I have to somehow read. Now we read out of guilt. Now we just read because we have to do it. It's a religious trip. I don't know. Will you get anything from there?
No.
Why? Because it needs an author to feed us. And the author is the Lord Holy Spirit. So girdle of truth everywhere. Sincerity, openness, frankness. I'm not asking you to go and then expose your life to each and every Tom, Dick and Harry on the road.
But there are those you should submit. The Lord has put you.
At least you should be able to open your heart to your leader. They watch over your soul. You close it. You think God will reveal whatever that's inside your heart?
No.
You keep it, play with it, live with it. So the first armor is the girdle of truth. Be open, be frank, be sincere. When you're singing song, be sincere. Be sincere. Lord, it's not my plans but yours, Lord. Not my thoughts but your word, Lord. Not my dreams and imaginations but I accept your desires, Lord. Put your desire within me, Lord. I want to do those things. I don't know how long I will live. People die at 5, they die at 100. It's up to you. God's not going to force you. So we in the time of war, right now, maybe the enemy is attacking your mind. Right now he's telling you something. You're thinking that you are thinking something that is your thought while I am teaching you. Not knowing that the enemy is meddling with your mind. For it is the battleground. The opposite of living faithfully, truthfully, sincerely, honestly, frankly, with open heart, is hypocrisy, camouflage, is exaggeration. It's just, they say in Tamil, malupur. They can't tell it as it is. They give all kinds of excuses. Put a ribbon there, put a flower here, then make it nice, and then yes, but camouflage, covered apart. Let us go on to read. Are you all listening? Or you wish that you were not here? Continuing to read. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now the first armor is truth. Openness. Breastplate of righteousness. And then the soldiers, they wear a breastplate. You see sometimes the cops, the policemen, you will see why has to, their shirt just like a blade. Behind also they just walk like that. What inside there's a steel piece they're kept so that when they shoot, the bullets won't go inside. Are you listening? The breastplate protects the heart, which is again the soul. It protects your mind, my mind. It protects your emotions. The breastplate of what? Righteousness. Proverbs 4:23 says, protect your heart with all protection. With everything that you can use, protect it. Protect your mind. Protect your emotions. Don't just give in to your emotions. Don't get carried away by it. Protect it with what goes out and it'll come out. What goes in will come out. So we need protection. The breastplate of righteousness. Second Corinthians 5. Take it. I don't know whether God will permit me to finish this today. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ obeyed every law, everything until his death. Perfect obedience to the Father. In not one thing, he just got deviated. No. Jesus said, is there anybody who can convict me or whatever of sin in me? When Jesus obeyed everything, now, when we believe Jesus, his righteousness, his holy life is imparted to us through faith. You're not going to heaven because you're obeying the law. In fact, you're in bondage if that is so. You enter heaven, or you have already entered now, passed from death to life, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan and onto God's kingdom. Through faith in him. So that's what the Bible says. His righteousness. So be strong. The devil comes to say, no, is no, you are that, you are this, you are no good, you, we know you. And you say, Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Hallelujah. That's your breastplate. Devil, I am going to heaven and I will be serving the Lord Jesus forever because he died for me and his righteousness is mine. He carried the sinful nature that he may give me the righteousness. He's righteous. His nature. The righteousness of God. He is the righteousness that was given to us. Through faith. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, 20, 8. I want to say you may be here, you may be listening to this CD or cassette, but it's no accident God is speaking to you. The time has been shortened. Wake up. Get into the harvest. Enough of your sitting down in the church. Enough of your songs. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? Now Paul is telling you something is being spoken to us now. What? Faith and love. Faith and love. Now we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Rhema, spoken word of God. Romans 10:17. It's given to us at birth, new birth. And as we go on meditating, and as we go on speaking the word and obeying the word, the faith rises up. From revelation to revelation, from faith to faith, we go receiving more light from God. Faith protecting your soul, your heart. And love. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been poured into our hearts. How? Where? Spirit, as well as your soul. It's got enlightened. Shock to the soul. I never knew the love of God like this. I never knew. Oh, Jesus. Why do people weep? Because they are unable to receive that love now. Inside. Sometimes we sing certain songs. No man has loved us like you. No one. So faith and love. Also the breastplate. Faith working through love. Galatians chapter 5, it says that. Ephesians, continuing to read. Chapter 6. And having, verse 15, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You must, you know, the soldiers, they wear boots. Sometimes they wear sandals. Nowadays they wear boots, right? In Paul's days they were wearing sandals. And a soldier should be ready with the shoes on his feet. Do you know that? Two things can be seen are the result of wearing the shoes all the time, your sandals. Those people who are not aware of the war, they're not involved in the war, they're not resisting the enemy, they will not have the shoes. It says the shoes, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Every word is important. We'll come to that. Preparation of the good news. Of what? Peace. Most of the time, in the battleground, there are a group of soldiers will be commanded by the main brigadier, whoever, to be ready throughout the day and night. Their shoes will be all the time in their feet. And also even the others, when the camp light and everything goes on inside their whatever, their bed dormitory, and the shoes and their whatever that is not close to them, immediately the enemy attacks, what are you going to stand on? Where will you find the shoes immediately? So remembering these things, Paul is speaking, get the shoes on your feet. The good news of peace. Preparation with all preparation. Preparation for attack. Preparation to speak out. To preparation to get somebody out. Actually, the two results of having your feet shod with the sandals or boots, you know what that is? Number one, you are available at any time by the Lord. your availability. You are telling the Lord, I'm ready. Let it be 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. Let it be, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I have prepared. I've just, all my knife is very sharp. My two-edged, oh, I'm coming to that. The two-edged sword. Availability, number one. Two, mobility. You are in a position to walk, jump, run. Why? You are ready. Are you there with me? See how the Holy Spirit using these things that we should be ready at any time. Evil day, and during the day, there is a time in that day. You can't run and prepare whatever once the enemy is attacking you immediately. Oh, wait a minute now. What is that pastor said? Where is that scripture? Oh, no, wait. No. You are shot already. In fact, if the enemy shoots you in your right on your head, the mind, you won't even have the strength to go and open your Bible. You won't even have the strength to even to call somebody. Oh, please pray with me. Do you need somebody to pray with you? 100 times, brother. Put your pride down. Jezebel was, I heard that once he was struggling and then, you know, enemy was attacking severely. And he would even go and pray, I believe. And then the Lord revealed it to Kenneth Corbin. And then he said, Jerry, what's happening? So they prayed. Some of us are so proud, we won't even tell them, can you pray? No. No. I don't need prayer. I will pray for the others. It takes humbleness to ask prayer for somebody. It takes humbleness. Yes. People think that, why should I go in front for prayer? Why? I have nothing wrong. I don't have a devil. People who are sick and whatever, one day let them go. I stay. So, having your feet shod with the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace is that you are available. The shoes is on your feet. You are available and you are ready to what? Move. You are ready to move. What about preparation? Are you doing any preparation? Those five foolish virgins, they did not prepare. When the time came, the door was shut. And now they are running in search of the shoes. I'm just talking figuratively. They didn't prepare. They did not think beforehand, oh, our oil is running out. Let us be are cautious and get this thing ready. They did not prepare. And I know in many churches, even including this one, people just finish up their days. They have no knowledge. They don't prepare. They don't talk about anything. They won't even ask me, Pastor, what's happening to the website? What's happening to those cancers, Pastor? Pastor, what is that? What is this? Pastor, what are we doing, Pastor? Pastor, can we organize some prayer meeting? Can we organize? No. Why? Because the enemy has blinded them to focus on their own life. Yeah. Focus on their own life. Acts chapter 12. You're going to see something here. Look at me here. Please. You're not frightened, are you? You should be. Listen. Peter is arrested. And they have thrown him in jail. You can't play your games with God. Let any government. God sends the angel to open the doors to get Peter out. Watch. Chapter 12, verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Why did he strike him? Look at me. Hey, get up. What was happening? Peter was fast asleep. Can you see the peace he had? Can any one of us sleep in the prison like that? Pastor, I preach the gospel and they put me in prison. My tongue is coming out. He was fast asleep. See the peace that the peace he had inside. What is that peace? The gospel of peace. Do I have it, Pastor? Let people look at your face. When you stand on the queue in a shopping mall, can they say, looking at your face, oh, he has got peace? Or they say, my God, there's an escape from the psychiatric hospital. The way we present ourselves.
And struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off hands.
Peter never knew that the angel was going to come at that time.
Then the angel said to him, gird up yourself. Come on, Peter.
Can you see that? Gird up.
Put your belt on. Right? And tie your sandals. Can you see that? You can't go out without your sandals.
What a wonderful, loving Father God that we have. The angel had to come and then tell Peter, Peter, put on your shoes, my darling. Don't come out without the shoes. It's stony out there.
We tell children, like little, you know, kids, put on your shoes quickly. You're about to go, right?
But the other just angel is telling Peter, come on, Peter, dress quickly, put your belt.
Okay, now put away sandals. Oh, over there, get it. You can see Peter putting the sandals and not knowing what's happening. Why? Because he had the gospel of peace. He must be out there to preach. Peter, he prepared. He was ready.
Are we ready?
To move? Have you done all the preparation? Where are your sandals? Are you ready to give the witness of your life? Even if I call you today, now, come on. Tell us how God touched your life.
Touch my life, yes, say yes, yes, yes. You're struggling. You need deliverance.
I was coming, Pastor, to your church. And I don't know, I just began to like the word, and I'm just living now.
I question whether anything happened inside.
How long was it, darling? About 15 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah.
That witness won't travel the devil. Don't be bothered. You can stand on CN Tower and then say that. Not a fly will move.
But if you say, I was blind. I was in a religion. And the devil had me. And the Lord opened my heart. And I want to serve him. You want to see, brother, if you have no tears in your eyes about what God has done to you in your life, something is wrong. You are in a tree, you are in a, what do you call that, in a giant wheel of tradition, deception.
You don't have to read your Bible. Just be busy with your work. Why do you want to read it just for the sake of reading it? Preparation of the gospel.
Preparation means meditation of God's word. Preparation means digging and studying. Study to show yourself approved of God. Study. Dig deep. Memorize the scriptures. Share it with somebody else. Dwell on it. Be grounded on God's word. Be ready with all kinds of examples from whatever that you read from the Bible and with prayer. So that anytime, as Peter said, if anybody asks about your faith, you are ready to speak to them. It may be in the mall. It may be inside a bus. It may be anywhere. But if you are not prepared,
this person asked me, Pastor, and suddenly, you know what I did? I just told them, you come to church. Nonsense. God never said,
you don't need the sandals or the boots to say you come to church. Any idiot can say that.
Come to church.
What for? To make him another idiot?
But right there, you should be able to say, yes, my God, hallelujah, brother, this is what happened to me. You want me to pray for you?
Oh, no, not inside the bus. Okay, outside the bus. I'm going to pray for you. Right now. Are you willing?
Because you prepared. You asked the Lord that morning, throughout the day, Lord, send me one person. Send me that person. Give me a divine connection, Lord. Please help me, Lord.
Yeah, we don't pray. We don't prepare.
No time, Pastor. Sleeping late, running to work, coming back totally tired. Tired. All the time tired. Tired, Pastor. Sometimes when we pray in group also, I close my eyes. I just tired. Suddenly see they have stopped praying. Only know that they have finished praying. I went the other side. Tired, Pastor. What shall I do?
Preparation of the gospel.
How many of you remember that Jesus, while sending them to preach the gospel, Matthew chapter 10.
Hallelujah. I know God will raise some of you. You are going to take the word of God and smash the devil. Release these words out of your mouth. Whether they like it or not.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 12. And when you go into a house, household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Look at me. They are going with what? The gospel of peace. They have peace themselves. Do we have?
No, Pastor. We fight in between. We fight inside the car. Because the windows are closed. When you come, we stop.
They had the peace. And Jesus said, when you go into a house, greet them with the promise of God. Let the blessings of God Almighty, let the revelation of God come upon you and your children. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Bless them. If they deserve it, you will impart your peace to them. If they don't deserve it, that peace will come back to you. I didn't say these words. Jesus said it. You cannot give what you don't have.
You are going as if you are totally the most troubled person in Scarborough. What are you going to give? What are you going to give? Jesus said, give your peace. We don't have it. We can't give it. Gospel of peace. Great peace they have, those who love his
word.
Psalm 119. I think it's, it's 165. Great peace they have. 165, I think. If you love God's word above everything, above your mother, your father, your whoever, above your job, above yourself, if you love God's word, God says you will have great, not small peace, great peace.
So that means I don't love the word, Pastor.
You're right. You got a revelation. Leave the great peace. At least some peace do we have. Loving his word. So when that peace is inside, that joy is inside, God says, and you go to a house and you greet them, and that peace will go on to them. If they deserve, if they don't deserve, that peace will come back to you. So that means peace is a spirit. Hello. It's a spirit from God. Love is a spirit. Hate is a demon spirit. See? Having your shoes onto your feet means that you're ready to do something immediately when God wants you to go to that place.
Pastor, you never told me, Pastor, about giving the sharing the word. I never had time. You should have told me at least 2 days ago. Oh, so you are telling me you're walking without your shoes all over Finch and Warden. You're walking everywhere without your shoes. That's why you want me to warn you 3 days ago or 1 week ago. You got to tell me ahead of time, okay? Then I'll sit and prepare.
Preparation of the gospel, anytime. You are telling the Holy Spirit, I am ready. Send me, Lord. Where? Where? Peter was ready with the shoes in the other house, the where he was staying, that's next to the, near the beach. And Cornelius sent some man, come and speak to us. Did he say, brother, you know, I just dozed off. I had a dream. Anyway, I need to spend some time in prayer and study my Bible, and I'll come maybe 5 o'clock in the evening. Okay. Oh my God.
He just went. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, shut up and go with them. Here we are. We try to prepare like the five foolish virgins.
Some of you probably just started just in case I've called you today.
You prepared something? I don't know.
Just in case, Pastor Cole. What have you got to tell? You got to be ready at any time. In season or out of season. Preach what? The word.
You must be ready.
Don't come out with some old bread. That which you prepared 2 months ago. And then when I call you, give that one. I will know it. I will know it whether it's coming out of your throat or from your heart. Fresh bread. Fresh bread smells. Yeah. Stale bread also smells. But the fresh bread smells nice. You know, right? When you go along the bakery side, don't you? Oh my God, that's who I'm talking to.
Do you like the fresh bread smell?
I like it.
God promised us to give fresh bread. Hallelujah. So,
you must have your sandals all the time. With all the preparation of the gospel, study it, memorize it, be ready to give witness, be ready to go and then take whatever, to share the word. Be ready to go. If I tell you, sister, go and speak to that family. Go and pray with them. Brother, tackle that devil. Pastor, I never spend time in prayer. Pastor, I never read the Bible today.
My elders will have to be ready at any time to lay hands on the people. Then they will ask me, after I give the word, Glenna will call me and ask me, who are the people who are to pray? Lay hands on people. I said, so-and-so. Last night I asked, who are the people? Put everyone. So now they have to be ready. You must have some faith, brother, to go and put a hand on some devil.
I mean it. You must
be ready. You should know where you stand. You should be sure about your salvation. You must be clean.
Pastor, we are knowing more and more things. And we are continuing to learn. And more is going to be required. You always tell the scripture. What are we going to do? Put on the sandals.
Get ready to move. Don't be seated like David. Put on the whole armor of God. So we have seen the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of preparation of the gospel. Preparation of the gospel. I have been following him there.
So as we continue with the putting on the whole armor of God, not some, the whole armor, there are 6 pieces given. Only then, by resisting it and standing against the enemy on the evil day. 2 days ago we had an evil day for many of us. When you heard some news, right? It's not that heavy one. But then again, for the group, the Lord was calling you, wake up! Stand on your feet. Resist the enemy. That you will be able to withstand in the evil day.
God may sometimes give us some people to stand together and then fight. Sometimes, according to the proportion of the knowledge that you have received, God may sometimes, for to me, I was left alone. I had nobody to even call. When I went back to New Zealand, those pastors there told me, Pastor Vince, God planned this trial for you there so that you will cling on to him. If you had been here, this has happened here, we all would have been next to you. We would have held your hands and prayed with you. But God planned it in such a way. So brothers and sisters, evil day, I'm not glorying on the evil day. The Holy Spirit warns, is not an option. You cannot avoid. So put on the whole armor of God. Stop your nonsense, your hiding and your camouflage, your exaggerations, telling half there, half here, trying to change things, walking in bitterness and unforgiveness, resentment, not open. You can't even just tell somebody, would you please pray with me? I have this confusion a little bit. I have these bad dreams. Please pray. So we will see as we continue the other armor. Okay? Bless you.